This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum, coming to you from the DIA Global Annual Meeting in Boston. My guest today is Dr. Jose Vega, Vice President and Chief Safety Officer for Merck & Company. He has chaired, just a few minutes ago, the session entitled Novel Approaches to Pharmacovigilance Collaboration. So, Jose, welcome.
Nice Thank you, Alberto. Good seeing you.
And I'd like to ask you about this session in particular. Yeah. It focused, I believe, on Transcelerate's first wave of pharmacovigilance projects.
Exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit about the efforts to date and the challenges they've identified for the future?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. We just ended a very engaged session. We had nearly 200 attendees, and we were lucky also to have Dr. Dalpan from the Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology on our panel from FDA, the CDER FDA. In terms of the Transcelerate group, you know, Transcelerate is a group of 19 biopharmaceutical companies, a not-for-profit organization that really focuses on achieving efficiencies and addressing gaps in how we develop new innovative drugs. Many of the projects have been in the clinical research area for the initial few years, but now for the last 2 years, we have, through Transcelerate, started 4 pharmacovigilance projects. So we are up to, started with 2 last year, which I'll describe, which were the subject of the session just now. And then we have 2 that launched more recently. The 2 that we reported on today, the first 2 projects, one was on the interpretation of PV regulations. There are many regulations, not just US, but ex-US, in the area of pharmacovigilance that can be ambiguous, can be difficult to interpret. So the project really tried to leverage the fact that we have 19 companies with a lot of great expertise looking at these regulations and trying to come up with a common understanding of what the expectations are and best practices on how to address those expectations. So the focus of that project initially was on the FDA IND safety reporting rule, and then subsequently on the European reference safety information regulation, and we'll go on to other regulations in the PV space. So that's one project, and we had a report on that at the session.
Will that project start focusing on Japan as well, perhaps
Absolutely.
China, Latin America?
Exactly. So we started with the US FDA, a European regulation, and then we'll go on to other regions and other areas, which could very well be Japan and China as we go forward. This is a project that will continue because they're always evolving pharmacovigilance regulations from different regions that really represent common challenges across the member companies. So this is an opportunity to leverage in a unique way, in a pre-competitive way, the expertise of all companies to really understand the regulations and what are the best approaches to implementation. The second project, which is very exciting, is that we reported on today, was on the value of safety information data sources. So we provided a lot of data. This project has only gone on since last spring, so 15 months or so. And this shows the unique value of Transcelerate in that by working together and generating data together, we were able to really get a much better understanding of the value, the differential value, the hierarchy of value of different data sources in a way that we can now present, publish, discuss with the regulators. And the essence of that project was the premise and the hypothesis that not all sources of safety data are created equal. Some are of higher value than others. Some are low value, actually, in terms of what they bring into patient safety.
Some examples of high-value sources versus low-value sources?
So high-value sources are basically clinical trial data, for example, and spontaneous safety reports, you know, where a healthcare provider or patient, for example, reports an adverse event, adverse drug reaction. And of course, the adverse events that we collect from clinical trials are quite granular and quite informative. The low-value sources are adverse events that are captured through social media, market research, and we felt also patient support programs. And those are what were we together examined in terms of the data 4 different ways. And we did find, it is research, so we did find the one interesting finding that we did not expect necessarily, is that while on the one hand, all of our data confirmed that in fact, social media and market research are very low value sources of safety data in all ways we looked at it. For patient support programs, in fact, they're not all created equal. Some of them actually generated very high quality data, very granular data. For example, when the patient support program involves a healthcare provider, interacting with the reporter or the patient, and they can actually elicit a lot of detail. There, in some patient support programs, the actual quality of the data, content of the data, can be comparable to spontaneous reports. For social media and market research, they're clearly of lower quality and lower value. So part of the ongoing efforts that we'll continue to work on is trying to differentiate within the universe of patient support programs which ones can generate useful information in the safety area and which ones do not. For example, the ones that are just patient support programs, patient access programs, reimbursement programs that just don't involve that opportunity for interaction with a healthcare provider are of low value, we found. So we're refining that information and we'll continue to share with different regulators.
Where do electronic health records fall in this scale of value? Are they high value, right, medium value, low value?
So we did not specifically look at electronic health records yet. You know, this is something for the future. So big data or electronic medical records, Sentinel kind of work, databases, claims databases, were not initially part of this project. This will be something to consider as we continue going forward.
Do you care to guess where on the value scale EHRs would fall?
If done properly, I would expect electronic health records could be of high value. But again, it's the question of what are the technologies and methodologies to do so. And there are other challenges around patient privacy and other issues that may affect how quickly we can get there and derive the value from that kind of source.
Related to that, what is the role of artificial intelligence and machine learning in the future of pharmacovigilance from your perspective?
So as it turns out, actually one of the two freshly, recently launched pharmacovigilance projects for Transcelerate is specifically on exploring opportunities in intelligent automation, including a natural language processing, artificial intelligence, or just generally automation in different aspects of pharmacovigilance. We really failed compared to other industries, and it's not just for safety, but more broadly, but for sure for safety, we are behind other industries in applying or taking advantage, leveraging the technology that's becoming available in artificial intelligence and automation. Initially, the project just kicked off in the last 2 months, and it will focus on opportunities in the area of individual case safety reporting, case processing, so more of the operational aspects, you know, which are more transactional and more inherently amenable to an automation approach. Within Transcelerate, we're focusing on trying to understand what are the requirements that a successful or a useful opportunity in this area would need, a technology would have to provide. And we'll share those requirements or those specifications broadly. We're not looking at specific technologies or vendors. We're just thinking more broadly of what the requirements would be for our solution to be helpful. So the idea there, of course, is to reduce the amount of human middleware, we sometimes call it, you know, that's required, and actually have an opportunity to still do the right thing for patient safety, but really do it more efficiently and with higher quality, with higher fidelity and accuracy. Yeah, so maintaining quality and compliance, but removing the human effort in terms of the transactional aspects and keeping humans, you know, and experts in PV for the higher value activities that where they are necessary.
Are there some examples of how pharmacovigilance expectations and best practices might evolve in the coming years? Are we at a tipping point at this point in terms of the relationships between regulators and sponsors with respect to pharmacovigilance? Are things better than they've ever been? Are they improving? Do they need to improve further?
Yeah, what we have found is that, if anything, there has been increasing lack of harmonization as different regions or different countries.
In spite of ICH?
In spite of ICH, in the area of pharmacovigilance. For example, in the area of reporting of individual cases from clinical trials, if anything, in the last several years, there have been a divergence between the FDA, for example, final rule on IND safety reporting and the European and ex-US regulations. And there are other areas where, unfortunately, if anything, there have been some divergence. I think we're all trying to achieve the same thing, you know, regulators globally and industry on behalf of patient safety. But in some cases, in pharmacovigilance, there have been, if anything, increasing lack of harmonization. But we all will strive to help bring harmonization, you know.
Is ICH thinking of developing some new guidelines in this space to get to a harmonized state?
I think ICH continues to strive for harmonization, and I think they are aware, and many of the key regulators are aware of some of these areas. So I think there's, from my perspective, there's optimism that there will be, it'll take time, but we'll get back to being more harmonized in the terms of the regulatory expectations in the field, in the area of safety and pharmacovigilance. In other aspects, of course, there is a reasonable harmonization, and we'll try to support that and enhance that whenever possible. And some of this work we're doing in individual companies and through Transcelerate will help in the sense that it's based on data. You know, we're not just providing opinion. The essence of what we're doing is generating actual data to support the concepts that we're putting forward for consideration.
In your opinion, what has led to this divergence? Because we're now in the age of regulatory convergence. Right. And so I'm curious as to what led to divergence in this particular space of pharmacovigilance and safety reporting. Where did people start going off to the left and off to the right instead of staying aligned in the same direction?
Yeah, I think it's tough to generalize. You know, there's some areas, for example, the reporting of individual cases from clinical trials, it's just different perspectives. You know, ex-US, there was a sense, I believe, that they really wanted to really receive all the cases, all the serious cases, in an expedited fashion without much filtering by the sponsor in that case. Whereas the FDA, through their IND final rule on safety reporting, really felt the onus should be on the sponsor to really only expedite to them from clinical trials cases that in and of themselves were interpretable, are interpretable and potentially actionable, so that they could focus on those and investigators, and not just sponsors and regulators, but also investigators and IRBs and ethics committees could focus on the ones that are actually meaningful, potentially interpretable and actionable. So I think it's just a different perspective, a different approach, and I think we have discussed that openly, and we still hope that there will be ultimately some convergence going forward.
To your knowledge, is ICH imminently looking at maybe putting together some working groups to create guidelines on this?
I'm not aware that that's imminent. I think it's been discussed at ICH, but I'm not involved directly in those discussions, so I'm not aware whether that's on the immediate agenda.
So in closing, from your session that you just chaired just now, are there some couple of or three messages that you would like to share with us to summarize what happened there?
The session itself was entitled Novel Approaches to Collaboration in Pharmacovigilance. So I think the essence of the session is that really there is a critical need for collaboration in a number of areas, but in this case, in the area of safety and pharmacovigilance. You know, we are all here, industry regulators, everyone, healthcare providers. We all do what we do to protect patient safety. And that's why, in our case, we come to work every day. So there's a real need to and a great opportunity to collaborate in some of these challenges that are common to all of us in a pre-competitive way, clearly, where we can all share our expertise and really come with some of the data and some of the ideas that we have come up with in some of these projects. So first, that there's a critical need to have meaningful collaboration. And in fact, that we have shown that that is possible through an entity such as Transcelerate. So those are some of the concepts. And then in fact, we will continue to do so very closely engaging with regulators and other stakeholders, other industry groups. It's essential that we, from the beginning, we have always achieved that engagement. So it's not just an isolated effort, it's very open. We share all our data along the way. We interact with many regulators and with other industry groups, FBIA, for example.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. A pleasure to be with you. Enjoy the rest of the annual meeting.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.